my dear listeners. Over the past year, I've had the privilege to talk to science communicators from India and the West. And having connected with so many leaders from so diverse backgrounds in scientific communication, outreach, and policy building, they are determined to make a change to the betterment of the society. But there is still one question that is left unanswered, which is, does India need science communication? And if so, why? I believe that India urgently requires robust science communication to bridge the gap between scientific advancements and public awareness. In a nation with skyrocketing population and diverse socio-economic backgrounds, effective science communication is essential to disseminate critical knowledge. It can not only foster a scientific literate society encouraging innovation, but also inform society to build towards a decision-making and public participation to solve complex issues such as healthcare, climate change, and technology integration. Moreover, it can inspire the youth like us to pursue careers in science and research, paving the way for India to become a global scientific leader. And by breaking down complex concepts into understandable information and encouraging the masses, science communication can empower individuals to make informed choices and contribute to a progressive and scientifically enriched nation. So an age-old question for the youth is that, is science communication something that we can pursue in future, and is it difficult if we pursue in our home country, which is India? To answer this, I have a very special guest with me. Her name is Shreya Naidu. Shreya Naidu is a dynamic and passionate individual whose journey is defined by her unwavering commitment to scientific advancement and community empowerment. With a rich background in research and outreach, Shreya has seamlessly blended her expertise to make a long-lasting impact. As an adept outreach manager, she spearheaded transformative initiatives at the Social Action and Policy Lab, bridging the gap between scientific innovations and the community. Shreya also co-founded Stimulus, which is an organization dedicated to nurturing budding talents in brain sciences and psychology, demonstrating her leadership and vision in education. Her multifaceted roles, from a project assistant managing Brain Awareness Week events to her influential position at Foundation for Advancing Science and Technology, showcase her exceptional project management skills. Shreya's dedication to the outreach is not just limited to scientific realms. She's also very active, involved in social initiatives, advocating for education, accessibility, and empowerment for marginalized communities. With her vibrant spirit and profound knowledge, Shreya Naidu continues to inspire and uplift, leaving an indelible mark on the intersection of science, community, development, and education. This is a conversation you wouldn't want to miss. Hi, Shreya. Welcome again, I guess. So I'd like the listeners to know this is probably like the fifth time that we are recording, and I don't have any regrets because Shreya is a very good friend of mine. And she's so sweet. She wanted to re-record this session because she was like, I want to do justice to what you said, Mahima, in my introduction. So go ahead, Shreya. Introduce yourself to the listeners. Tell us a bit about your current role and why you enjoy it.
Thank you so much, Mahima, and also giving me the opportunity to do this again. I think last recording was like a month and a half ago, and I felt like just within that short period of time, there was so much more that I had learned and I wanted to give back to your audience. So I felt like a re-recording was just necessary. Hi everyone, I'm Shreya Naidu. I work with the Foundation for Advancing Science and Technology. It's also called FAST India. And I work in the science communication vertical. So we're working on quite a lot of projects to build SciComm culture in India. But my major project entails the India Science Festival, which is what we call a celebration of science. And it's from an innovation policy and a public engagement perspective. So FAST India is also a non-profit organization aimed at making India top 3 science and technology nation in the world. So that's what we're doing and where we're heading at. And what I like about my role, and there's a lot of things I like about my role, but personally, I think what matters to me is wherever I'm working and whatever I'm doing, what matters to me is the impact that I'm able to make with my time, energy, and resources. So while choosing a career path, I was somehow very aware that I will not be personally fulfilled in a role that I am not able to measure the impact of, or whatever impact it creates. So in research, you generally say that it's a drop in the ocean, but I just wanted to do a little more than that. And through my work at IIT Gandhinagar and Stimulus, I could see the impact that I was making. I could, see that people's views on research as a profession, or just like introducing neuroscience as a field of study, and also just kind of destigmatizing neurological disorders by just talking about them. All of this was something that I was able to see and measure for myself. And that was basically what was very different from, say, a research position to a psychom and outreach position. And so in working for like around 2 or so years in this space, I'm extremely happy and extremely fulfilled with this role, and I just plan to continue in this space.
That's so sweet. And congratulations on finding something that you actually love, Shra, because a lot of people don't have the outlet to follow what they actually want. And your profile has been very interesting. All right. Like if you go, I mean if people want to go to your LinkedIn, I'll link in the description, they'll see like you've done a variety of things. So I want to ask you, you did a master's in neuropsychology from Gujarat Forensic Sciences University, I guess, in 2020, right? So neuropsychology is such a good and a vibrant field. Like you said that you learned so much during your time in your master's. So I want to know, people generally pursue a PhD after master's. That's what like most of my friends will do and are doing actually. They just got in straight away. So what changed, Shreya? And you can tell me about the psychom progress that you saw throughout the years, especially after pandemic, because pandemic was such a it was such a myth-inducing time in India. So what changed? Is what my question is, because you graduated during pandemic, and maybe I wanted to ask if pandemic had a role in it, or you always had a passion for psychom outreach.
Oh, that's a very interesting question. So I mean, pandemic definitely played a huge role. I'll talk about that as well. But essentially, you're right. Like after my master's in neuropsychology, I was on a research track, so I was thinking, okay, I have to do PhD now. But I wasn't very sure on what I exactly wanted to do my PhD in, because as I mentioned, I wanted it to be impactful, and I was not able to isolate the question or like the lab or the person I wanted to work with. And there's also financial constraints that I had to think about. So all of those considered, I thought, okay, let me just try out this psychom thing on the side for a while, and until I figure out what exactly I want to do. And oh, well, also because we're talking about psychom, I just wanted to give the audience a little bit of a heads up, and just clarify that when we talk about science communication in India, we're usually referring to like science writing. But there's more to science communication than just writing. So Fast India had released this working paper. It's called Public Communication by Scientific Institutions in India. And you can find it on the resources page on the website.
I'll link
And
it.
definitely. And there are some distinctions mentioned in this working paper about the different types of roles that are there in the SciComm space. And just to let the audience know, you can be a science writer, a journalist, education and outreach professional. That's what I'm working in. Communication manager, you could be a press manager for like scientific institutions, or you could work in museums. So there's quite a lot that you can do within the science communication space. And there's also for advocacy and diplomacy from a SciComm role, but there's like individuals who work in science and technology policy, that usually gravitate towards these roles.
Right.
So yeah, there's like a whole world out there that I feel is quite untouched within the Indian landscape. And SciComm has always been there for a long time. But it's recently become formalized in India, like in the past decade. And like you mentioned, and I call myself a pandemic career adult, which means that I was thrown in the job market during a public health crisis of the world. And that is not the most ideal way to start one's career. So at that time, I think it was very visible and obvious that there was a need for bridging this gap of information between a scientific and a non-scientific audience. So a lot of the communication was happening online as a result of all the lockdowns. As a result, even my outreach career essentially started online, hosting workshops, conferences, and one of my favorite events that I hope I can talk about later, curiosity camps. And at the same time, I was introduced to like this online community of science communicators who worked on like reducing and tackling misinformation. And they were already there. They were already doing SciComm for a long time. I was a newbie, but I ended up seeing these guys in action, and that was the coolest thing ever.
That's
The
nice.
likes of, you know, exactly. And so quite inspirational. There's Suchita Champak from SciRio, Somnath Kar from CCMB,
Yeah, they both were
Ashima
amazing. Yeah, and then
Nath.
Ashima actually taught us a SciComm course when I was in, I think, my 4th year of undergrad. She's amazing. Amazing woman.
Yeah, exactly. And then Sayantan from Life of Science. There's also Sara Iqbal from Fast, yeah, and other organizations as well that she's affiliated to. And there's just so many other cool people that are doing such amazing work. Some of them you've covered in your podcast as well. And we could just go on talking about them. But essentially, yeah, that's what happened. So from being confused to a PhD to do, to not do, then the pandemic coming in and my career starting off online, to being introduced to this online community, and then also scientific social responsibility policy draft that had come up in 2019, which was essentially a government initiative for pushing science communication in society, wherein they tried to talk about or try to put scientific institutions responsible for communication of science in the public by building trust and partnership, and trying to address, you know, social goals in education, development, etc. So essentially, all of this was happening while my career in SciComm started, and I felt really welcome, and I think I don't want to say that it was the best time to start a career in SciComm, but I can definitely see that I was in the right place at the right time. And so there's, you know, this motivated community, there's government support. And so this would ideally mean more SciComm. It would mean expansion of roles, science communication roles, more undergraduate and postgraduate programs, maybe scholarships, maybe funding to organize these activities, and also basically have more meaningful public engagement in the coming years. This is what I saw when I was getting into this space. And so I felt this was, you know, again, amazing to be part of this space. And I could see it also growing in the next decade, more and more so than what it is right now.
That is,
So, because,
yeah.
yeah.
I
And
mean, not
yeah,
an
that's why
ideal
I'm here.
start to your career, like you mentioned, but you felt so welcomed because of all these amazing people that are out there doing SciComm, who are not talked about enough. That's one major problem in India. We don't
Yeah.
science communication is something which is urgent, but I feel like it is. In a nation that is so vast with so many religions, conflicts might arise. But then, Shreya, like you and I know, our sciences they don't know any boundaries, right? We can practice
Right.
science anywhere we go. So communicating it, essentially, the ethics of it boils down to people like us who can tell people what exactly goes on in laboratories, and it's their right to know it. irrespective Definitely. Of what religion they follow or anything. And it's so cool that you got to start your career in psychom. Probably we'll have to thank pandemic for it, because I also started somewhat like that. I had all these friends, they were texting me that, you know, you have all these ideas that are just bottled up, Mahima, and you need to talk about them. So I thought, why not start a communicating science podcast? That'll be cool. And it ended up being pretty cool. And I met so many amazing people through this portal. So yeah, and I have so many friends now. You're one of them. And I'm so glad that you are there.
So I love your podcast. It's amazing. And I also do listen to it quite often. I'm just really happy that something like this, you're doing something like this. I mean, I'm excited for your career ahead as well. And I'm glad that the pandemic at least allowed you to think about this as a career option.
And I am glad the pandemic allowed you to think about yours as well. You are an amazing person. So, Shreya, I want the listeners to know that you have a background in both research and outreach, right? So, you worked in research. I also have a background in research. So, you'll be able to answer this question better. How do you see the intersection of, you know, research and outreach, and how can they advance science and technology? And is there any example you would like to tell the listeners that, you know, you had a research experience first, and then through that, you learned to, you know, communicate science, your approach to scientific outreach changed or something like that? And tell us a little bit more about Curiosity Lab as well, because I want to know. I want to know, because last time we recorded and you talked about it, I want to know more.
Awesome. That's great. I'm glad that something came out of the last recording. So, essentially a lot of the people who get into science communication that I've seen who don't come from a communication or journalism background are from science, and so they have some sort of training, scientific training. And I worked as an outreach manager with the Curiosity Lab and then briefly with the Social Action and Policy Lab, both headed by Professor Jason Manjale at IIT Gandhinagar. Now, you want to know a little bit about the Social Action Policy Lab. And essentially, we used behavioral insights for what we call as social transformations. And basically, it was an attempt to kind of improve the design, utilization, and also like the effectiveness of public policy through basically research that was evidence-based. And this is basically in psychology, in cognitive science. And one of its elements in this Social Action Policy Lab, which we also call a SAP lab, was execution of outreach interventions to promote awareness of behavioral insights with policymakers. So essentially, we were working with policymakers in Gujarat. And we hosted workshops on integrating behavioral designs in health and wellness programs. And we also did camp art and learning. So this was kind of at the intersection with my work in SciComm at Curiosity Lab and with the Social Action Policy Lab, so camp art and learning. And sorry?
That interconnected, I said. That interconnected well.
Yeah, it did. I thank my PI for that. And it's like, it was definitely like one of the most impactful programs that I was part of, the Curiosity Camps, because it was for middle schoolers and high school students. And they were essentially introduced to topics and themes in the sciences and the social sciences and the arts by experts in the field. And we're talking about professors from IIT. IITs, other IITs, not just IIT Gandhinagar. And in some of the sessions, we called somebody from NASA, an astronaut. We called, innovators. We called thinkers. We called professors from across the world to talk about their subject expertise with high school and middle school students. Retrospectively, or rather when I say it like this, it sounds like a horrible idea, but it turned out fine. It was great because it was a necessary intervention. Because let's look at India today, and I'll just give an example of a conversation that happened with me and my aunt, wherein my cousin was just graduating from 12th grade, and they were thinking about what courses that he should apply to. And literally my aunt said that, well, it's just computer science, engineering, and doctor. What else is there? And I know that, I know what she means. She means that anything else is a waste of time. It does not have probably enough structure in India or enough possibilities to earn a lot of money and develop financial security. I understand those things, but we have come a long way where there are opportunities in other professions that are becoming financially viable. Yeah. And yes, cannot ignore that there are obviously cases where there where just having some sort of cushion is extremely helpful for you to probably go for programs in the arts. But it's still important to, it's okay if you're not going ahead and you know, taking it up as a field, but it's still important to be aware that these other things exist. I mean, arts and social sciences and science are supposed to now especially be kind of interconnected, and you want to be able to show that to children at a very young age so that they can think in those terms. So even if a student who probably attended one of the camps goes for an engineering program, we believe that if they were able to attend some of those sessions and were able to gain something out of it, would be that all of the other areas are equally important. And so essentially for this particular camp, Camp Art and Learning, I wanted to talk about that a little bit, is when we took a step back from, say, pure sciences and gave the stage to humanities and arts. So we talked about topics such as science communication, art as a means for contemplation, scientific storytelling through drawing, sustainability and art, and creative thinking for teachers. And so we kind of knew that compared to other topics that we took up for this program, the ones in like on neuroscience and the ones in science and technology, you could see that there was little less engagement and interest. But the idea was to leverage this science and technology interested group and introduce art as a means of exercising their creativity and opening themselves to multiple other viewpoints while not taking away their love for science. Mm. You know, so I think this was like one of the most fascinating projects that I was part of. Mm-hmm. And there's quite a lot of impact that is measurable and quite anecdotal, that kind of still resonates. And we've stopped the program temporarily, but I hope that IIT Gandhinagar starts it again and continues to do it.
Yeah, it sounds really cool. And I think like the idea that you mentioned that, you know, only science people, pure sciences people know how to, you know, express science. Actually, they're the worst at it. Let me tell you that.
Okay.
To give humanities people a forum to express themselves. I'm not saying that scientists don't know how to communicate or something. It's just they don't have that outlet to do that. But I remember having a conversation with my humanities friend. She graduated in 2020. She has a bachelor's in arts right now, and she's pursuing her master's currently. So I told her about a topic, and I told her that, can you make, like, I need help with an assignment. We need to make it more beautifully. The ideas that she came up with, it was a biotechnology project. I absolutely had zero idea that science could be communicated through that. So, you know, involving science communication shouldn't be restricted to just, you know, people who pursue sciences, I guess. Yeah, right. You need to communicate science. You need to have people who provide evidence-based information. But the outlet should not be only them, I feel. The outlet should be multiple people who are involved in multiple organizations who can provide certain impactful outreach to the community, right? Because the idea is to have people understand what is going on. Like you said, you worked in a social action policy lab, and then you culminated the experiences with Curiosity Lab as well. And you learned so much through that role. And you You provided so good insights, Shreya. Like, exactly, like whatever you said, I agree completely with it. So can you tell listeners a little bit about Stimulus as well? Because I wanted to know that, you know, you started this organization, I remember, in pandemic, and it empowers young students and professionals who are interested in brain sciences, right? So, you know, youth specifically who are coming from marginalized society, villages, or somebody else who has interest in, you know, neurosciences, brain sciences and psychology, but couldn't pursue it. How did your outlet help them? And do you have a particular success story from Stimulus that you would like to share? Because I was very fascinated by this. So I want you to talk a little bit about Stimulus as well.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, Stimulus was very close to my heart project. And though it was not intended to be that, we ended up building a community of young women in STEM. And that was pretty interesting output that came out of it.
I told this last recording as well, I will say it again, I need to have a separate episode where I have people working in science communication and who are in STEM, just coming together and just like talking about SciComm. So I'll do that soon. Yeah, please continue.
Awesome. We're looking forward. So Stimulus definitely became a space to kind of reach out if you're curious about neuroscience, and space for mostly individuals who are new to it. And so no question was ever considered silly in any of our meetings and workshops. I think that encouraged people to talk about their interest in neuroscience, their perspectives that they have, because today we're in a very information-rich world, and essentially everyone has some or the other perspective to share because of something that they've read. And it's important to acknowledge that, agree, disagree with it, and put out your viewpoints. I guess that was a good space that Stimulus made. And also, we heard a lot of like personal motivations of these young students. And when I'm saying young, I'm meaning high school and undergrad students. Like their personal motivations to study this subject. So a lot of them just came out of, you know, curiosity. And but then quite a lot of them came because one of their family members suffered from a mental or a neurological disorder. Mm. And that's a very strong motivation to try to understand something. It could be, I mean, because they're living with somebody who's suffering from a clinical problem. And India just doesn't have a very well-developed neuroscience career path for young students. So as of now, you're kind of just have to go for a biology program, and then you would go for like neuroscience specialization and a master's.
And most, like, I remember, like, a few of my friends who were interested in neuroscience, for them, they had to actually switch careers because, you know, they couldn't find a particular lab that was specifically working on neuroscience. It was either protein building or something else. So what you are saying, I completely agree. So most of them had to go abroad for their education.
Right, exactly. And so, I mean, this motivation to just kind of understand what is it that their family member suffers from, and if they can contribute to society, a solution for this so that other families don't have to go through this. I think this motivation is very strong.
Right.
And it definitely needs to be leveraged, understood, accepted, explored, and given guidance to. And Stimulus basically provided an introductory training and mentorship to navigate the space. Mm-hmm. Stimulus was discontinued in 2022 because it was just something like a pandemic project, and it didn't work out after a lot of things started opening up. But then at the same time, everyone who's been part of Stimulus, I think, has been working in the neuroscience space. They've been doing quite well. Some of them have gone on to do more science communication. Some of them have stuck to neuroscience research. And this project will definitely be close to my heart. So even I'm working on making neuroscience education more accessible in the Indian academic space through other projects, not through Stimulus. And I'll keep working on projects like this.
Yeah, that's great to know. I mean, even if like it came out of pandemic and like you said, it had to close, I think you started a lot of new chapters for people who were interested in neuroscience in general. So like I myself was a member of your Discord server, and I know a lot of people who have done amazing in neurosciences after joining Stimulus. So that is very sweet of you to, you know, start this. And I really applaud your determination, Shreya. It's amazing. So we're running out of time. I just want you to tell the listeners a little, you know, takeaway thing for people like us, people who are listening, who are interested in science communication and outreach and don't think that it's a career currently, I mean, to follow on. But I have people over like you who give us hope. So can you please tell anything for the listeners who are interested in science communication and pursuing it as a career?
Definitely. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's important to, first of all, this is the best advice I can give is just write, really. Just write a lot,
yeah.
As much as you can. Because I think, Mahima, even when you were thinking about how you want to develop this podcast, you were writing your ideas out there. You might have had a lot of trial and error, you know, just ideas that didn't work, ideas that worked. And I think writing is really important. Sometimes even if, say, your podcast did not make it in another universe, maybe, you would still, if you... written, then you would have probably put out this idea into the public and maybe somebody else would have picked it up or learned something from it.
Like I started the podcast because I had these ideas pent up in a diary and it was rotting away in a diary, and I wanted to put my writing into effect. That's how the podcast came out about and around, you know. So probably like please go ahead.
There's so many things that people want to communicate. You know, you would want to communicate your research. You want to probably share a social commentary. You want to talk about a cool phenomenon, you know, anything. And so writing something that can be linked to you through your personal blog or anything online at this point, you can really have a lot of avenues for this. So anything that could be linked to you would be great. I don't think internships are extremely necessary because I do see like quite a lot of competition for something like that. So I would suggest instead reaching out to people who work, whose work you like really like, the kind of SciComm work that they do, read about what they do, talk to them if you can, understand what are good resources in SciComm, and explore these different roles. You know, just arm yourself with that knowledge. And once you're armed, like once you know that, okay, this is what this space looks like, is like, then think about maybe if you enjoyed hosting that conference or workshop, write about it again, reflect on what you really enjoyed about it. Yes. And if you're keen on doing events, just find frugal ways to do it. But make sure you do it and don't worry that it's not perfect or people don't care. That is a later part. I think starting out.
I cringe at my first episodes, but I'm glad I started them. You know, I understand what you mean. You get better with time, right?
Exactly. And essentially, I think write because you want to, like do events because you want to, do SciComm because you want to do it. And SciComm is, again, still quite unstructured in India, which means that it's really dependent on your internal motivation to do SciComm. And that will take you forward more than anything. And if you want to continue your research and you can still explore SciComm on the side, work with PIs that care about outreach and, you know, find yourself a space that works for you. It could mean like writing an article a year or even doing events every month, whatever works for you, really.
Yeah, that's really sweet, Shreya. I mean, thank you so much for coming. I mean, this was probably like the best recording we've done because like we also, you know, got better with time. So yeah, it was amazing to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming. And I hope I'll host you soon for that special episode that I'll be having for women in STEM. I'm contacting a lot of women and I'm getting them together. And let's see, let me put that up in 2024, January. So yeah, till then, it was amazing talking to you again. And I really hope to see you at Indian Science Festival soon in January.
See you. Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.
I hope this conversation fosters in youth active discussion about science communication and outreach in India. The hope
for a career is not dim. So let that shine through. Thank you, my dear listeners, for tuning in. And to Shreya, thank you so much for gracing this platform. I wish you the best for future endeavors. If you like this episode, make sure to share this episode with your friends and follow the podcast on whatever platform you're listening it on. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing right now, I just hope you're safe, warm, and remember to never give hope and keep striding, even when waves are high. Bye.